This is Pure Decking, show number 588 for Thursday, April the 4th, 1975. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and drinking to stay employed. Tonight, we have a madman. What is up, madman?
We don't have a madman.
I'm sure whatever madman is saying is hilarious, but his microphone is not working.
Damn it! How about now?
There he is.
There we go.
I was going to say, the stupid must have spread to your place of employment as well. I drink to try to ignore it at mine.
And we have an Are You. What is up, Are You?
Speaking of stupid, yes, it is spreading wildly, madman. Unfortunately, it gets worse. Or it gets even better.
Fall of the Roman Empire, isn't that what everybody's saying right now?
Oh, it's... I don't know, man. It's just... The climate shit is just getting absolutely fucking insane.
Well, I always enjoy when somebody, you know, wants to talk about it. It's like, all right, hang on. Do you want to talk about actual scientific data? The fact that there's a lot of gaps in the data, but we do think that we are about a degree Celsius up? The fact that can humans alter the environment? Yes, but the numbers we have from the UN show that we're not doing nearly as much as they would like us to think it do. Or do you want to talk about PopSci, climate change, you know, the shit they scream about on the news? Because if it's true, why are we talking about cap and trade? Why is it not just cap? And have you looked at the actual damage mining for lithium does for them electric cars you're so happy about?
Yeah.
And if you looked at the megawatt hours that come out of things like solar plants and wind farms, because we can have these discussions. I don't think they're particularly useful because most people don't want to actually have a realistic discussion about diversifying our source of electricity and going with the only real alternative to coal we have, which would be nuke, and is actually quite clean. And if they would come up with what they wanted to do with the waste, which... you know, could be stored safely. Was it Yucca Mountain? Is that the one I'm thinking of, Madman?
That's one of them, but the step-down generators that we have now?
Now you're talking.
You run the waste through that, and then just find an unused salt mine, store it for 75 years, and then dump it into a river.
I mean, as opposed to the whole letting it sit for however many decades they have to let it sit in those managed pools before it cools down enough to where they can put it in the casks. But those kind of conversations, most people who are going to scream at you about climate change don't actually want to have, because there's some really cool and interesting stuff. Solar panels really have gotten a lot more efficient, but the chemicals used to produce them aren't all that great. Electric cars have some really cool technology in them. If we could figure out the power density problem, you could really make something awesome with those. But they don't want to have those conversations. They just want to scream at you about how you're a bad person.
Oh, it's great.
And I'm picking on climate change because it's easy, but there's hundreds of things like that. And I think it all boils down to the fact that nobody in politics actually has principles or scruples anymore. It's all my side, your side.
And if you're looking at climate change, looking at a redoing of the grid, because whereas I don't think solar panels on a mass solar farm is a good idea, but throwing them up on houses and using lead acid batteries, I think that could be cool.
Yeah, no, there's absolutely some stuff to talk about there. I mean, for fuck's sake, I've got a whole bunch of batteries for my radio stuff and have a solar panel for those. Works great. We're talking about small-scale low-voltage applications, but it works great.
I don't know about you, but all the first-generation batteries for houses in my country have been recalled.
Oh, no.
Due to explosions and fires and shit.
God. So, you know, I mean, I get your point, are you? And it's like, we could get into that stuff. It's just nobody really wants to have a real conversation about it. They just want to scream at each other so they can claim to be the more, I don't know, better person.
I forget the state that it was in, but the first all-electric trucking company was setting up. Had all the government subsidies paid for them, got all the tax credits because they're going all green. And then the city went, no fucking way you're plugging those things into our grid. We can't let you plug that in. You'll kill it. You'll kill the whole grid. The whole thing will use more power than we use right now.
Yeah, if you look at the megawatt hours, man, nukes are about the only alternative we have.
Yeah, if you're looking to go electric, but then electric trucks won't matter because, get in your truck at 8 o'clock in the morning, you make your first delivery, say, up past 9, quarter to 10, then you got to sit on the charger for 2 hours waiting for your truck to recharge.
Yeah, there's definitely some logistics problems.
I fill up with diesel in the morning, and I do my run for the entire day, come back, drop the truck off, and fill her up with diesel for the next day. You know what I mean? Gonna need 10 times the amount of trucks.
Like I said, if we could solve the energy density and storage problems, some of those electric engines are really efficient and could be really cool. But our battery technology is not there.
If we were going electric for vehicles, you wouldn't do it for long haul trucking. You'd do it for taxis. We used to have an electric taxi fleet because
that makes sense.
Urban areas, you just drop the dead taxi off, pick up your replacement taxi, and head on. We just do the same thing now. New York used to have an electric taxi fleet.
That's a good point, yeah. So that's my point. There, you could have some really interesting and cool conversations about this stuff, but nobody wants to. Everybody just wants to scream at each other, and it's so fucking boring.
And when I say could, I mean based on the whole drop and move a taxi. I don't know if their power grid could charge.
No, it can't. The power grid can't charge. And how many extra people have we all just added to our country? Like the UK now finding that their feces level in the River Thames is rising again because of how much sewage they can't process anymore. How many people have dumped in that city?
I don't think we've added a lot of extra. Yes, we're bringing in a lot of immigrants, and I would like for them to assimilate culturally, but our birth rates have been declining for a while.
The city of London's population has gotten so much more dense over the last 3-4 years, madman.
Wait, do you mean London or the city of London?
No, I'm talking about the London itself, not the corporation.
Just checking.
On that one, you could just disperse it to more of England, but then you still have the problem of, are they acculturating?
And the answer is largely no. You're getting ghettos.
You need to have them acculturate.
So,
all right, what do we got here, Morps?
So,
this is the Linux story.
Yeah, I figured we'd start with the XYZ or the XYZ. Check your zipper. XZ Utils backdoor. I've got an article from The Verge, but this has been covered lots of places, so I don't know that I really need to read this. To summarize, I'm guessing most people outside of this probably aren't really aware of what XZ Utils is. Actually, I can test case that right now. Madman, do you know what XZ Utils is?
I'm going to go with the Linux database.
No.
But other than that, no, I have no idea.
No. You're correct that it's Linux, but it's not actually required to be Linux only. It's a set of libraries that are used for compression. And they're actually really good and really efficient for file compression. So you actually see a lot of Linux distros using XZ Utils for packages. .tar.xz is a common thing. And the big one, and the thing that this tried to take advantage of, was that SSH by default uses XZ Utils to compress the network traffic to make it more efficient. Because it's a very good, very efficient compression utility. You know, it's like zip, but way better. For anybody who needs an analogy. But the actual library that implements it was only maintained by like one guy and some volunteers. And there's a and I want to talk about this because there's lots of libraries like this in Linux. And the XZUtils one is interesting because what happened was a guy at Microsoft who was researching, I think it was performance on Red Hat. He had built out the latest beta of Red Hat. I think it was a database he was testing. Actually, the article probably says, maybe I should just read it. But he discovered that the CPU was spiking and it hadn't done that before in previous versions. So he goes hunting to see, why is this thing spiking? And he figures out that this XZUtils basically is building a backdoor. It hooks the XZUtil library, and whenever an RSA call is made, it hooks that and catches it. And the short version is it tries to intercept keys that are used for SSH authentication. And it's so somebody was trying to backdoor SSH across. Well, it's called a supply chain attack, but basically every Linux distro that uses this. Now, apparently it was flagged, at least in the version of the backdoor that people were picking apart, to only work on Debian and Red Hat, but that's still a pretty good population of the Linux servers out there. Now, it would have taken a while before this stuff made it into prod, so they caught it early before any real damage could be done with it. And, yeah, so, I mean, the story of this is nuts, because the guy who was originally maintaining the XZ library wasn't a full-time job, it was a volunteer, right? It was just something he was doing on his own.
Yeah.
And this thing got picked up and started being used, and there's a mailing list that they were using to maintain it, and he was taking patches from people, and he was putting out a release maybe, I don't know, every couple of months, once a year, something like that. And somebody starts volunteering to help him, so he gets them set up with maintainer access after they'd submitted some good patches to him. And then he starts getting other people on the mailing list hounding him, why aren't you doing new updates? Why, we need new releases. What's going on here? Well, can you just get this other guy? Can you let him do it? Can you let him do it? And they hound this guy till he basically gets this other guy who's volunteered to help him. And I've already forgotten the name. I'm sure it's in the article. So I guess I should just read the article. So he gives this guy commit access to the repo and then decides he's going to step back and let this other guy run it. But he becomes a co-maintainer. He's not completely stepped back. And then about, I forget the timeline. Are you, it was like 6 months after this guy became maintainer.
Wasn't it 2 years?
It's 2 years in total. Yeah.
It was quite some time.
Yeah, this guy spent their time getting into this. They put this backdoor in the library. And the thing about this is not that this XZ backdoor was caught. That's cool, and that kind of demonstrates how useful it is to have so many different people, companies, and everything using these open source libraries and testing them and beating on them and finding stuff like this. But how many libraries are like this out there in Linux where the whole thing is maintained, all these big projects use a library that's maintained by like two people. You know, that's actually what happened with OpenSSL a few years back when they discovered Heartbleed. Was they went back to it and ultimately figured out, yeah, everybody's relying on this library and it's maintained by like two people who've been doing it thanklessly for a decade. And, so you have all these companies losing their mind that there's this hole in it. And it's like these two guys who've been volunteering, like nobody's paying them. So there's hundreds of libraries like this in Linux. And so I think what's happened here, especially with the timeline that I sent you earlier in the week, that somebody laid out, I think an Intel agency figured out that this would be a good library to target because, small group of people maintaining it. Used by everything, and thought that they were going to get a backdoor in every Linux system so they could have a Nobis. I don't know which Intel agency. Given the names, we might be able to, point some fingers, but that's pretty poor attribution.
I got a worse conspiracy theory.
Okay.
So, buddy comes on board, comes up with this idea. After he's come on board, those other people petitioning old mate to let him do full patches and stuff like that don't exist.
Oh, I'm sure that's the case.
Pre-made sock puppet accounts by this guy.
That's probably likely because they figured out that the addresses used in the mailing list that were hounding him about not doing releases fast enough, they don't show up anywhere else.
Yeah, okay, so that part of my theory. And he didn't intend to leave. He intended to stay with it even after deployment, make sure that it was all up and running, and then was going to sell the highest bidder.
I don't know about that last part because it's hard to put motive to it, but the amount of time they put into getting into it is a little bit long for most criminal groups, which makes me think intel agency.
Yeah, maybe I'm not thinking of a whole group. I'm just thinking of one guy with a plan.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah, you know, that's why I said conspiracy theory. I have no idea how it was done, what the motive was.
Two years
is not that long a game to play if you're.
Could you get enough SHA keys to figure out a pattern and brute force the rest of them?
Oh no, they weren't trying to collect people's SSH keys. No, the individual keys aren't really related to each other, Madman. They're just random noise that are generated. I guess if you examined it, it's like examining your house keys. I guess if you examine enough of them, you could figure out patterns to how they're manufactured, but that I don't think that's very helpful or all that useful.
Yeah.
They were trying to hook the back-end process for SSH so that it would always accept a key. It's like my password always works. I don't care what other passwords you have, but mine always works. That's I think what they were trying to do.
And there's enough programs using that library that you're just going to be getting into all kinds of shit.
Oh yeah,
because it's that large of it's that popular of a library.
Yeah. So I guess we can read this Verge article here because I think it was one of the better summaries when I was looking earlier today. Linux, most widely used open source operating system in the world, narrowly escaped a massive cyber attack over Easter weekend, all thanks to one volunteer. The backdoor, which had been inserted into a recent release of a Linux compression format called xzutils, a tool that is little known outside of the Linux world, but is used in nearly every Linux distribution to compress large files, making them easier to transfer. If it had spread more widely, an untold number of systems could have been left compromised for years. Oh, it would have been more than that, especially because there's a lot of systems out there that once they get built, they never get patched, and they live on the internet. And so anything that would have gotten built with this backdoor in it, tracking them down and getting it shut down, might have been rough. And as Ars Technica noted in its exhaustive recap, the culprit had been working on the project out in the open. The vulnerability inserted into Linux's remote login only exposed itself to a single key so that it could hide from the scans of public computers. As Ben Thompson writes in Stratetry, quote, "The majority of the world's computers would be vulnerable and no one would know," unquote. The story of the XZ backdoor discovery starts in the early morning of March 29th, and as a San Francisco-based Microsoft developer, Anders Freund, hope I didn't mispronounce his name too poorly, posted on a Mastodon and sent an email to OpenWall security mailing list with the heading, quote, "Backdoor and upstream XZ lib ZMA leading to SSH server compromised," unquote. Yeah, most people are going, huh? But then you got a handful of sysadmins going, oh God, when you see that subject line. Freund, who volunteers as a maintainer for Postgres, a Linux-based database, noticed a few strange things over the past few weeks while running tests. Encrypted logins to libzma, part of the XZ compression library, were using up a ton of CPU. None of the performance tools he used revealed anything, Freund wrote on Mastodon. This immediately made him suspicious, and he remembered an odd complaint from a Postgres user a couple of weeks earlier about Valgrind, Linux's program that checks for memory errors. After some sleuthings, Freund eventually discovered what was wrong, quote, "The upstream XZ repository and the XZ tarballs have been backdoored," unquote, notes Freund in his email. The malicious code was in versions 5.6.0 and 5.6.1 of the XZ tools and libraries. Shortly after, enterprise open source company Red Hat sent out an emergency security alert for users of Fedora Rawhide and Fedora Linux 40. Ultimately, the company concluded that the beta version of Fedora Linux 40 contained two affected versions of the XZ libraries. Fedora Rawhide versions likely received versions of 5.6.0 and 5.6.1 as well. Although a beta version of Debian, the free Linux distribution, contained compromised packages, its security team acted swiftly to revert them. Quote, right now, no Debian stable versions are known to be affected, unquote, wrote Debian's Salvatore Boscaro in a security alert to users on Friday evening. Frond later identified the person who submitted the malicious code of as one of the two main XZ utils developers, known as Gia T75 or Gia Tan. Quote, given the activity over several weeks, the committer is either directly involved or there was some quite severe compromise of their system. Unfortunately, the latter looks like the less likely explanation, given they communicated on various lists about the fixes mentioned above, unquote, wrote Frond in his analysis after linking several workarounds that were made by Gia Tan. Gia was a familiar name. They'd worked side-by-side with the original developer of the XZ file format, Last Colon, for a while. As programmer Russ Cox noted in his timeline, Gia started by sending apparently legitimate patches to the XZ mailing list in October of 2021. Other arms of the scheme unfolded a few months later as two other identities, Jaigar Kumar and Dennis Inns, began emailing complaints to Collins about bugs and the project's slow development. However, as noted in reports by Evan Bowles and others, Kumar and Inns were never seen outside of the XZ community, leaving investigators to believe that both are fakes that existed only to help Gia Tan get into position to deliver the backdoor code. So, yeah, those are the two accounts we were talking about earlier that were just hounding this guy to basically make Gia a committer so that he could put this backdoor in place, basically. Quote, I'm sorry about your mental health issues, but it's important to be aware of your own limits. I get that this is a hobby project for all contributors, but the community deserves more, unquote, wrote Inns in one message, while Kumar said in another that, quote, progress will not happen until there is a new maintainer, unquote. So yeah, they were essentially hounding this guy on the mailing list saying, put somebody else in charge. You know, put our person in charge. And, you know, a lot of people in, especially developers, they're sensitive about this kind of stuff. You know, if you're sitting there attacking them, they're eventually going to want to just walk away from it. And I understand that mentality because I've seen it plenty of times where you're going to have somebody who says, you know what, fuck it, here, I don't need this shit. Especially when it's unpaid. Especially someone
who's volunteering.
Yeah. So
like the only satisfaction he usually gets is gratitude from the people he's helping and then the sense of accomplishment from a job well done.
Well, it does let you do one other thing. It does let you do one other thing because there are a handful of developers who get to do this. Their resume is one lane long. The guy who wrote InMap started this, but several of them do it. I wrote InMap. That's their resume. Or I wrote XYUtil. You know, that's all it is. And if you know what it is and you know who they are, you didn't need to see a resume anyways, right?
But yeah.
So there's that. But yeah, I mean, the whole point of this, the whole reason I want to talk about it, because it's cool that they caught it and stopped it, because this would have been nightmarish had it actually gotten out. Because I guarantee what would have happened if nobody had caught it is this backdoor would have been distributed out to all these systems, and then one day everyone's Linux systems would just, you know, all their data would be gone, or it'd be some massive ransomware, or it'd be an Intel agency would always have all of this insider stuff, right? I mean, you would just see this abuse, and it would keep happening, and nobody would know where it was coming from. So it's awesome that they caught it, but my fear is how many other Linux libraries are in a similar position where it's one maintainer, two maintainers, a mailing list, and it's somebody who's not going to take criticism of their hobby project all that well and would be willing to just, you know, walk away from it if somebody's harassed them enough that, you know, you could see an attacker, whether it's an Intel agency or a motivated individual or a criminal, you know, get control of an important project that everyone depends upon and putting backdoor code in it.
Yeah.
How many other things like that are out there? So I guess one of the strengths of open source is that, you know, a programmer working on Postgres who's actually employed by Microsoft found it and was able to raise the alarm and get it fixed fairly quickly, which is awesome. And actually, this guy has a bunch of posts, you know, here's the back door. Other people can dig into it. I'm not a security researcher. I'm a database guy. So, and good on him, too, for you know, doing as much work as he did and finding it. But, you know, you don't. There's an XKCD comic from a few years back where it shows the whole big house of blocks made up, and then it's got the one little block in the corner that's holding everything up, and it says, you know, some package maintained by one guy thanklessly for the last decade that nobody knows about. So, yeah.
That is one downside to open source. When it's free, it's a labor of love by a lot of different people. And that leaves it open for infiltration, I think, a bit more than anything that a company's working on to charge for.
Well, arguably, but with commercial software, if it's backdoored, you might have even less visibility to it. So that argument could swing both ways.
I would say less visibility, but I'm also thinking less likelihood of being backdoored. Because it's, you know, closed. It's less open.
So, yeah, but you're right in that, you know, because it is closed, it would necessarily be harder to backdoor, because you'd actually have to compromise whatever company is writing it, as opposed to just, you know, becoming a developer on the getting into that open source package and submitting patches. So, anyways, next article?
Yes.
Okay. This is hilarious. This is from mynorthwest.com. It's a local talk radio thing. Washington's lottery forced to pull site after creating AI porn of a lotto user.
What? Why the fuck would an AI system on a lotto site be making images at all? Random fucking number generator. That's
no,
all it
okay,
needs.
Okay. They've got this app. Let me read the story. A new Washington's Lotto AI mobile site turned a user's photo into softcore pornography, forcing them to take the website down out of abundance of caution. When Megan, a 50-year-old mother based in Tumswater, visited the new AI-powered mobile site from Washington's Lottery on March 30th, she thought she was in for some frivolous fun. Test Drive a Win allows users to digitally throw a dart at a dartboard featuring Dream Vacation. This sounds like Candy Scan shit, right? Like, you know, old school Flash games where it's like, oh, we're going to throw a dart. And it's going to throw you, it's going to pick a location for your vacation that you're going to get to go because you just won the lottery. And yeah, so you can pay with all the money you win the lottery. Depending on where the dart lands, you can either upload a headshot or take one on your phone to upload. And the AI superimposes your image into the vacation spot. You can see where this is going.
Yep.
Megan landed on a, quote, swim with the sharks, unquote, dream vacation option. She was shocked at one of the AI photos Washington Lottery spit out. It was softcore porn. They've actually got the photo. It's fairly censored, but they've got the photo in the thing where they've blurred out her face and her chest, because I'm assuming she wasn't wearing a top in the photo. It basically stuck this poor woman's face on, you know, some AI-generated body with no shirt on. And the rest of the photo is kind of surreal because it looks like a bed that's underwater with fish swimming around it. So it's one of those earlier AI photos that's like, you know, weird dreamscape stuff.
Yeah.
But, whoops.
Oops, yeah. Man, that's fun and games with AI.
Megan says she used the site's in-site option to take a photo of her face to upload. The photo was created that shows a smiling AI version of Megan, but almost completely nude. In the image, Megan is sitting on a bed in a bathing suit bottom on, but no top. Her bare breasts are exposed. She did not comment on how accurate it was. The background of the image appears to show the bedroom in an aquarium with fish swimming around her. The Washington Lottery's logo is at the bottom right corner. Quote, our tax dollars are paying for that. I was completely shocked. It's disturbing to say the least, unquote. Megan explained to Jason Rant's show on KTTH. Megan feared that the image could potentially get out and that it would happen to another website visitor. She told a friend who happens to know someone at Washington's Lottery what happened. Quote, I also think whoever was responsible should be fired, unquote, she added. So whatever AI engine they were using to generate these pictures, apparently it's not one of the ones that filters out things. Like, I know some of the ones we were playing with, if you tried to, you know, Suave had a game where he was trying to get it to spit out stuff like that without it getting filtered. So. But that was more for the challenge than anything, but it was just like, whoops.
Somebody bought the premium subscription and then... started building the database, and no one told them what it was going to be used for.
Madman, you remember what we were talking about the other day about how once these AI models are trained, you can't actually take things out of them?
Yep. And that's why I'm saying no one told him what it was going to be used for. So it's like, I just want to train this to make the images everyone's going to want.
Yeah, it's unclear how or why AI created this particular image, given the rules governing the content. The Jason Rant show on KTTH could not, of course, authenticate the image. However, a spokesperson for the Washington Lottery confirmed they received the report that the image was created by the AI system. Approximately 3 hours after an inquiry by the Jason Rant show on KTTH, Washington's Lottery pulled the site offline. They also provided this statement. Quote, we were made aware that a single user of the AI platform was reportedly provided an image that did not adhere to the built-in parameters set by the developers. Prior to launch, we agreed to a comprehensive set of rules to govern image creation, including that people in images be fully clothed. So anybody who doesn't know what's going on, they're just getting this notice because they've used this website, and it's like, wait, fully clothed? What did I miss? We may not have seen the image that AI provided to this user, but out of an abundance of caution, we took the website down. Unquote, the spokesperson confirmed to the Jason Rant show on KTTH. The spokesperson did not confirm when they first heard of the issue. He did not explain why the Washington Lottery waited until after the inquiry before turning the site offline. Megan is pleased the site's been removed. She says she hopes any back-end settings that need to be adjusted are in fact adjusted. And they have an update here from a couple of days ago. Spokesperson for the Washington's Lottery sent the following statement to the show. Quote, we heard about this earlier in the week. As soon as we did, we had the developers check all the parameters for the platform and were comfortable with all the settings. But after further internal discussions today, we chose to take the site down out of an abundance of caution, as we don't want something like this purported event to happen again. So, for one thing, somebody's, you know, absolutely making hay out of this to have fun poking at the lottery. But, yeah, so I imagine you have a whole bunch of people who don't understand how these AI systems work. Who built this?
That's more what I would say. They didn't think.
Well, so anybody who's played with Gandalf AI knows that just because the AI is instructed not to do something doesn't mean that it's not going to do something. It just means it knows it's not supposed to do it. And that there are ways, usually it's because somebody's intentionally screwing with it to try to get it to do things like this. I imagine what's happened is whatever the image of the topless woman came from, that got accidentally put in there when it was training this image set, you know, whatever model they're using. And I imagine it's one of the older ones because it's made such a surreal image like a lot of the old ones used to do like a year ago. Yeah. So I imagine they've hooked it into some older model and just somebody used it to, you know, somebody trained it on making pictures of ladies and one got through whatever filter, you know, whatever prompt is generated. So I absolutely believe that this happened and I think it's hilarious, but I'm sure the lady wasn't very happy about it though.
Oh, I'm certain she was scandalized and furious, and rightly so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
the only thing that could calm her down and bring her back to reality would be $30 million from the state.
Well, there's that. I mean, it is kind of bad when the state's doing that. I also imagine that that image probably didn't get cached anywhere for very long. It was probably generated, thrown into a cache, sent to her device, and probably only lived for however long these things get cached, a couple hours, before it would have been automatically deleted by the system. So the only way it would ever get out would be if she is sharing it. So the one on the website there, she probably provided to the radio station that wrote it up.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't have provided it. Would have just kept it to myself. Still told the news media and then contacted a lawyer.
Well, there's that.
Just putting it out there in the news story, it's... couldn't have done it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely somebody, you know, doing a won't somebody think of the children, but...
Yeah.
But one thing, at least in our system... supposed to have to show damages. So unless you can show it got out, there weren't any damages.
Shock and confusion, and that'd be about it. And of course, I could see the immediate reaction from the tech. Well, why'd you send it a topless photo?
Because we programmed it not to do that. And right here in the rules, you can't show boobies. And I can show you the rule set. It says no boobies allowed.
And depending on the developer you talk to, they may have said it exactly like that.
I kept telling people it would be a lot more popular if you allowed the boobies.
Whoa. What if it was a little more nefarious that every say 1,000 female photos, it spits out a raunchy image?
Oh, then you have to determine female. We don't want to go in that question. We're just going to go every 1,000 photos, and then Bob's wondering why the hell he's got a great rack and
with that, you got a developer who's like, got a real fetish for... I'm going to stop. That's going to get terrible.
Let's go to the next story.
Somebody who's really, got a certain name thereafter. Okay. Next story, this is actually one you sent me from The Bite. Amazon abandons grocery stores where you just walk out with stuff after it turns out the AI was powered by 1,000 human contractors.
From India, yes.
Amazon is giving up on its unusual just walk out technology, the information reports. The information is the name of another paper. Which allows customers to simply put their shopping into the bags and leave the store without having to get in line at checkout. The tech, which was only available at half of the e-commerce giant's Amazon Fresh stores, used a host of cameras and sensors to track what shoppers left the store with. But instead of closing the technological loop with pure automation and AI, the company also had to rely on an army of over 1,000 workers in India who were acting as remote cashiers. In other words, just walk out, a highly invasive marketing ploy to get more customers to shop at its stores while actively undercutting the local job market, will be missed by few. Instead of just walk out, Amazon is now betting on scanners and screens embedded in the shopping carts called dash carts. The tech they're replacing, however, was far more ambitious. In 2018, Amazon started rolling out its Just Walk Out system, which was meant to revolutionize the retail experience with AI worldwide. Several other companies, including Walmart, followed suit by announcing similar cashierless stores. But over 5 years later, the system has seemingly become more of a burden. According to the information, the tech was simply far too slow and far too expensive to implement, with outsourced cashiers reportedly taking hours to send back data so customers could get their receipts. Apart from relying on cheap outsourced labor instead of paying fair wages locally, critics have also long questioned Amazon's practice of collecting a hoard of sensitive data, including customers' in-store behavior, quickly turning a quick visit into the store into a privacy nightmare. Last year, consumer advocacy group Surveillance Technology Oversight Project filed a class action lawsuit against Amazon, accusing the company of failing to inform customers that it was secretly selling data to Starbucks for profit. Bigger question, why was Starbucks buying it? Figured to be a data broker.
Yeah.
According to its aggressive push into the retail market, Amazon's grocery footprint in the U.S. is still dwarfed by those of its competitors, including Walmart, Costco, Kroger, blah, blah, blah. Dash carts, whether dash carts will turn out to be any less invasive for data privacy standpoint remains to be seen. So I love the fact that it was all smoke and mirrors, the fact that it was instead of, you know, this magic system that they promised that I remember talking about it on Decking when they first were announcing it, us sitting there trying to figure out how they were doing it. It's like, is it a big RFID scanner with an arch? Is it a, you know, it's like, no, it's a whole bunch of cameras and dudes in India sitting there picking through the photos. And of course, this is, Amazon was probably paying top dollar for the cameras to get enough resolution, but it's also 2018, right? So it's some poor dude in India sitting there trying to look at a blurry picture, trying to figure out which bag of chips that was. No wonder it took them hours to get back to people with their receipts.
I was thinking RFID tags on everything when I first heard about it, and then I was wondering, how cheap have those gotten? And who are they paying at their warehouse to tag everything with an RFID?
Because an RFID tag is relatively cheap. They're, I don't know, probably 50 cents or so a piece to make. But 50 cents compared to a barcode, which is just ink on a label, is prohibitively expensive because you have to think in terms of millions because you got them tagged on every product.
Yep.
You know, when you're doing product design like that, you know, stuff that's going to be made in quantity of a million, you know, the pennies matter.
At that point, you could pay someone to fucking scan it at the checkout for you.
You'd think.
You know, you're going to use RFDI.
If you're going to outsource to India, at least be honest about it. You know, have the U-Scan where the guy's on the screen, you know, in his tech support headset and, you know, poorly spoken English.
They already have that, don't they?
I don't know.
Pretty sure I read an article about outsourced cashiers in India.
Yeah, this is the article. That's what the entire store was.
And no, outsourced there's
all of their cashiers to India.
It's a self-scan thing where they have the dude there on the camera talking to you if you have problems instead of having an in-store person.
Well.
Either way.
Anyways. Next article is from QZ.com. JP Morgan Chase is about to let advertisers target customers based on their spending. Honestly, I thought this was already happening, but
I thought it was. That's why you're paying cash, kids.
Chase Bank is launching a new retail media platform that will allow brands to market directly to its 80 million customers using data on their spending habits. Through the newly minted Chase Media Solutions, businesses will be able to target users with personalized offers and provide incentive to customers like cashback and the New York-based bank said Wednesday. Using customers' transaction data, which is owned by the bank, brands and advertising agencies can, quote, precisely target customers at scale based on purchase history, unquote. For example, by advertising to new, lapsed, or loyal customers differently. Quote, like retailers, we have first-party data and dedicated audience, unquote, said Rich Mulsock, president of Chase Media Solutions. Quote, but what sets us apart is the unrivaled scale and insights from our customers, having long served as a trusted guide for their financial decisions, unquote. So this isn't just a Kroger card or a loyalty card or whatever. This is your bank transactions being sold on the open market so that they can target you with ads. It's like, oh, well, we see you haven't bought enough Pizza Hut this month. If you don't purchase a pizza right now, we're going to send goons to your house to, you know, I don't know, beat up your dog. Probably not exactly that.
But don't do business with Chase Manhattan.
That's what I'm hearing, yeah.
Oh, pass. So they're if you've ever done business with Chase Manhattan, you're already fucked. You just stop doing business and then possibly sue them.
The bank is
because you do have some grounds for privacy when it comes to your financial transactions. It's illegal for me to talk to people about certain financial transactions.
The bank is hoping to combine insights from its large customer base and 6 million small business customers as part of its effort to build out its own two-sided commerce platform and bring in benefits to both business clients and banking customers. Yeah, right. Chase Media Solutions, yeah, the benefits to both sides with them taking their cut each way in and out. follows from the integration of card-linked marketing platform Fing, which JP Morgan Chase and Co. acquired in 2022, the bank said. Retail media networks like Chase Media Solutions are a form of advertising platform that gives retailers the ability to sell off ad space on their digital channels to outside brands. These platforms are given a major boost in surge by the surge in online shopping during the pandemic. Management and consulting firm Bain & Company, so Mitt Romney, estimates that retail media... He's probably not actively involved with it anymore, but anyways, Bain was a Mitt Romney thing. Company estimates that retail media is currently a $61 billion industry, double what it was in 2021. And it's expected to continue growing at an annual rate of 10% through 2026, making it an increasingly competitive area. Chase joins the ranks of other major players in retail media, including Amazon Advertising, Walmart Connect, as well as lesser-known platforms offered by Home Depot and Best Buy. The bank said it piloted the platform for 30-day campaigns for Air Canada, Blue Bottle, Whataburger, and Solo Stove, and saw significant transaction in driving sales and new customer growth. You know what I didn't see in that article? Anything about an opt-out.
Yeah, they won't let you opt out.
Because I guarantee you, if most people knew about this, they wouldn't let it happen.
They wouldn't care, Morps.
That's probably the truth.
They wouldn't care. Just another annoying thing you've told them. Go away with your conspiracy theories.
All right. Well, how's this for a conspiracy theory? If you install Google's VPN that apparently you get for free as part of their Google One, which a lot of people pay for more space in their Gmail accounts, Google's VPN app won't let you change your DNS off Google's DNS servers.
Fuck.
I've got the whole article here. I could read it, that it keeps resetting, you know, people who try to change their DNS off of the Google 8888. Apparently the VPN app just puts it right back at 8888 on Windows boxes.
Yeah, imagine my shock. Google fucking helping.
If you install Google's VPN, even if you're not on the VPN, they're going to see all of your DNS traffic. Now, I know people used to set the Google DNS on purpose because it was faster than their ISP's DNS. So that's a call whether you care or not. But what I don't like is the fact that it doesn't honor the user's option. If you go change the settings, it just changes it right back. So it's like, you know, well, and the reason that's a problem is, like, for example, on my network, I've got my router doing it, but I run a Pi-hole. I run a custom DNS server that has a whole bunch of block lists for things I don't want to deal with, mostly advertising and tracking, and a few of the things I've added to that list. But yeah, I run my own DNS server on my network, so I don't care what Google wants me to do. I want to use that because it makes my network work better, and the ad blocking works on everything, not just the Windows machines that have the ad block installed or the Linux machines where I can put it in a browser. It works on phones, works on tablets, works on the smart TV thing. It's not really a smart TV because it's on a stick, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a Roku, it's an Amazon thing. I just forget what it's called at the moment because it's been a long day and I've been drinking. Yeah. So that's annoying. I don't know that I even need to read the article. That's what it does. This is the DNS app won't let you change your DNS off Google's DNS, even if you turn the VPN off. So yeah. You guys have anything on that?
No, you're just pretty much not going to control any of the things that you buy anymore.
Not without a lot of work. So that'll be the real question, is what's worth the effort of controlling and what's not?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's going to be. It's everything does it. So what's worth the effort of going to control and trying to figure out how to disable, hack, unlock, whatever. And then what's not worth the effort?
I've stopped thinking about what's coming and just deal with what's now. You know what I mean? I know eventually I'm going to have to carry a chip or fucking, I don't know, something.
Well, are you? I'm surprised you haven't gone out, and I guess they're expensive now, but gotten yourself one of those old school flip phones that's actually running Symbian or not Android, not iOS. So that when they say, show us your phone, and you hand them, you know, like the old Motorola flip phone or something.
I've got a Nokia. What's the one that you can use for a fucking hammer in the third world?
Yeah, I know the one. Yeah, that.
Yeah. I'll start carrying that to mock them when it first starts.
Yes, I mean, because when they say, what's your phone, you know, give me your cell phone, you know, okay, here you go. And, you know, it's that thing. Like, what's this? That's my phone. What? Where's your iPhone? I use that. I don't have an iPhone. It texts. It makes calls. That's all I need it for. It's like, you know, watch people phone, flip
it's
out.
Not like it's my computer.
I know several people, Madman, who don't own a traditional computer anymore. They use a cell phone or a tablet, and that's it. If they want to play games, they, you know, have a PlayStation. I know a lot of people like that. My local game group that I've joined, a couple of people in there don't have computers. They have a cell phone and they have an Xbox.
Well, I don't mind. If people can get as technical as they want with what they carry in their daily, I just don't want to be forced into it. Leave me the fuck alone, you know? It's great you've got your Fitbit, your fucking phone, your locator or whatever else you fucking carry with you. I just don't want to participate.
Sir, we don't see you're carrying enough mandated credit card debt on your bills. If you don't go purchase something with the tracking right away, we'll tase you until you do. So, anyways, I don't know. I just... You'll own nothing and like it? It feels like it's in that ballpark? I don't know.
Oh, it's coming. Yeah, like... As I said, it's going to get a lot fucking worse before it gets any better. That's even if it does get any better.
Oh, I think you'll eventually see a neo-Luddite movement rise up from people trying to avoid this stuff. It's like, how do you communicate with people? CB radio.
I go to their house and I talk to them.
Yeah.
So, last article I have for tonight is from the Register. Microsoft slammed for lax security that led to China's cyber raid on Exchange Online. A review of the June 2023 attack on Microsoft's Exchange Online hosted email service, which saw accounts used by senior U.S. officials compromised by China-linked group called Storm 558, has found the incident would have been preventable, save for Microsoft's lax InfoSec culture and subpar cloud security precautions. Okay, this is the government saying this. As somebody who does cybersecurity for a bank, I can tell you, lax cybersecurity policy and culture is everywhere. Do you know why?
Uh-huh.
Nobody outside of my team. Okay, when we go up to the big corporate meetings, you know, and I have to fly up to New England, and, you know, I've got people who want to shake my hand, which freaked me out the first time it happened. Like, you know, there's a lot of people who like, you know, really appreciate the work I do on my team.
Well, make sure they reflect it in your paycheck.
I do okay. You know I do okay.
I'm just
are you?
Giving
We've talked
you
about
shit,
this.
Man. I'm just giving you shit.
But people outside of my team hate me.
Yeah.
I actually had that conversation with somebody today because we had a manager say, well, it's not a new application. They're reallocating. And I said, let me stop you right there. I don't care. If they're completely changing how they're implementing it, we need to run through all the security requirements again because they're redoing all of it. And he gives everyone this big, long speech about, well, you know, this is why the other teams try to get around us, because we're so difficult to work with. And it's like, I'm trying to do my job, dude. But yeah, I have a talent for being a blunt force instrument.
Not only that, but you're in part of the business You're there to prevent them from possibly losing money, but you're not making them anything.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
I'm in a similar position where if I do my job wonderfully, we've lost no money.
Yeah, the best outcome is nothing happens.
Yeah, that's the best outcome. Now, if I F up, I mean, we might be liable for fines or something, but they're paying me not to F up. But if I do everything perfectly, all they're out is the money that they're paying me. And other parts of the business actually make the money. And the ones that make money, the ones that have a budget.
That tends to be true. So, I just, you know, when they're saying, whoa, this is caused by Microsoft's lax InfoSec security and subpar cloud security precautions. It's like, dude, that's not just Microsoft. That's every fucking body. That's everybody. And if you look into any of these major organizations that you trust, have to trust, you don't even have a choice. So you have to use for this kind of data and transactions. Almost no bank is good about this, okay? If you look into how banks operate, you would not want to use the banking system. It's like, I don't blame people who want Bitcoin to take off so they don't have to use money. But
and it's not just banks. Credit bureaus. And you don't even have a choice in using those because it's someone else choosing to stick your information through that.
So, and somebody's going to get mad that I said Bitcoin was not money just now, but it's kind of not. It's an investment vehicle at the moment. So, but, you know, it's like, I get it. I do. Especially when you look at how this system works and the popsicle sticks and the duct tape and the hope that keeps it all working. But, and a whole bunch of really tired network and sysop engineers who have to keep rebooting things and kicking the boxes at 3 in the morning. Oh, I spent a couple hours on the phone today, after hours with a network engineer trying to solve a problem because I knew what he was trying to deal with and I was trying to help him. I was. And it's like, dude, I think I know what your problem is, but I can't prove it. You really need one of the app guys to look at this. And, I was trying to help him because I knew he's going to have to get up at 3 in the morning and start doing a packet capture to try to figure out what's knocking out the network. And it's like, why are you having to do it? It's like, I knew this guy was, you know, fairly senior. And he's like, well, there's nobody else to do it. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, they all quit again. It's like, son of a bitch. So it's just, you know, the popsicle sticks and the very, you know, put upon engineers to keep this shit working. You'd be amazed at how many websites are as reliable as they are because they've got somebody at 3 in the morning who will wake up, log in, and kick the server. So it ain't fancy cloud engineering. It's people who have a lot of patience and they're willing to tolerate a lot of bullshit from managers who don't understand what they're asking for. I don't know. Do I even need to read the rest of this article? Do we care?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the government's blaming Microsoft with their recommendations. Microsoft customers would benefit from its CEO and board of directors directly focusing on security culture and developing and sharing publicly a plan with specific timelines to make fundamental security-focused reforms across the business and its side suite of products. They'll never do that because they don't want to do that. They want to make money. Security doesn't make money. It prevents the loss of money, just like we said. The CEO should hold senior officers accountable for delivering against this plan. Microsoft's leadership should consider directing internal teams to deprioritize feature developments across cloud infrastructure and product suites until substantial security improvements have been made to preclude competition for resources, and security risks should be fully and appropriately addressed and assessed and addressed before new features are deployed. It's never going to happen, dude. You can write that all you want. It's never going to happen. Because features sell software and security, like we just said earlier, the best case scenario is nothing happens. It's frustrating because I see it every day. But that's it. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. At the end of the day, features sell software, and we're capitalists, so what sells is what's going to win. Now, having the most secure software, saying software is less likely to be hacked, here's all the reasons why, that can be a feature. You can spin security as a feature, but no, nobody does that because it's not as sexy as a new AI button that writes your emails for you so you can, you know, have the mental acuity of a potato and still be a vice president of wherever the fuck. So
that, and the customer has to care about it as well. And how many people's version of security is, well, I've never been hacked, or why would they target me?
Well, there's two types of people in this world. Those who've never had a data integrity problem and those who make backups. Same thing with security. Those who take it seriously and those who've never been hacked.
Yeah.
So.
And as far as on the individual level, until you suffered identity theft, most people aren't going to take it seriously. You find somebody that has, and they've locked their shit down.
The first time I encountered somebody like that was actually before I started focusing on security. I might have still been on the supply side of security issues. Yeah, it's been long enough, I can admit that. Yeah, I was on the supply side of security issues at that point in time. And the first time I met somebody like that, I was working at a grocery store. Kroger. I'll say it, Kroger, because it was one of the early ones with the cards. That card was the only ID the woman would give me. She wanted me to cash checks with it. And I'm like, I can't do that. It's like, no, that tells you who I am. I can't give you anything else because every time I give my driver's license to somebody, they steal my identity. It wasn't that she didn't want to pass. She wasn't trying to pass. You could tell. It wasn't a bad check. She was trying to cash it for $25. But the only ID she would give for it was her Kroger card. Because she was terrified that if she pulled her driver's license out of her wallet and handed it to somebody else, her identity would get stolen. Again.
Yeah, fair enough.
So.
Okay. I was thinking of just people that put credit freezes and you have to check their ID when they run shit.
Well, that's good practice too. So. Anyways. Headbutted something. What did I do? Random buttons on the keyboard. I don't know what they do anymore. It's like my flipping scroll lock key was flashing for a second. I think my KVM was expecting a hotkey input. I'm like, I don't know what this does. There. Okay, it stopped. Fuck, I don't know. Let's do this. That was the wrong button. For Dojo tonight, I found this cool website, selfh.st. It is an index of self-hostable applications. So if you're, you know, a nut bar like me and you like running your own servers at home, it's a big collection of stuff to run on your servers at home. So, you know, all kinds of stuff on here for, you know, hosting and running your own stuff. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
But, anyways, I don't know. You guys have thoughts on that?
Find the next Skype.
I don't know. It's got a search. What would Skype be? VoIP? VoIP? Email not valid. Oh, I thought that was a search. No, that's the search. That would VoIP. I have been drinking. It's been a long day. No matches found. Skype? Oh, it's by name only. I'd have to scroll through it and find something that says it's a VoIP. We got in there. Hugo, Flask, the flexible static site generator, Sync Thing, Gatsby, Prometheus, database monitoring, Jekyll, Mastodon, that's on there, Traffic. I don't know what an alternative to Skype would be to look for on this thing, because their search doesn't look for the word VoIP. Heimdall web, no. That's not it. Mumble, it's got Mumble on there. What else we got? SimpleX chat, rocket.chat. So, yeah, it's on there. You just got to work a little bit to search it. So, anyways, that's all I got. Madman, closing thoughts.
Oh. I think we could start our new religion and call it Neo-Luddites. I have to come up with a list of banned technologies.
Windows 11.
Yes. Well, I'm your first cult member.
All right, are you? Closing thoughts.
I'm joining Madman's Luddite cult. Eventually, it'll convert itself into some sort of sex cult, but getting on the ground floor.
Less likely to be neutered that way.
Yep. I'm looking forward to getting my blue Nikes.
Blue Nikes in a black tracksuit. Anyways, they'll be identifiable on the street due to the lack of cell phone in their hands. It's like, how do you listen to music? It's like, how do you listen to music? It's called a Walkman. Perhaps you're familiar with audio tape? Anyways.
Oh, dude. It's old enough that MP3 players are retro now because everyone uses their phone.
I've been trying to go through a bunch of my stuff lately. I was sincerely trying to find my Diamond Rio PMP300, first MP3 player I had. It used those weird-ass smart media cards, those flat ones. Most it could address was 64 megs of storage, and you loaded it with an LPT, you know, a freaking printer port cable. Special software. And I had a zip drive hidden in my backpack so I could hook up to the T1 at school and run Napster. Half the people listening to this have no fucking clue what I'm talking about.
And it's not even that long ago. I mean, think of how long tapes existed. MP3 players didn't even have a fraction of that time.
Well, basically every portable electronic device got absorbed into the cell phone within about, 10 years?
Yep.
So,
the PDA digital cameras has had fuck all time, too.
Yeah, your PDAs, cell phone, MP3 player, cell phone, camera, cell phone, your phone, cell phone.
Notepad, cell phone.
Yeah.
Alarm clock, cell phone.
So,
fuck it. We'll be here all day listening this.
All right. Now we'll hit the Pac-Man sound for real. That's all we got for the tonight. Listen to the stream we're always working on. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site. The BBS, which is down. And I think I know when it went down because I updated and rebooted the server. And I'm guessing it didn't come back. So I will fix that probably this weekend. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see how crazy tomorrow is. Galaxy 15 radio site, BBS. I think I've read everything on the closing. We did closing notes. Sound effects? Are we at sound effects?
Yeah. You're at sound effects.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
Sweet merciful Jesus, our greatest fear is confirmed.
I have never been horny in my entire life.
Security, she's got a break.